This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program. Okay, welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about an issue that has been, I think, kind of ignored in the news locally. The whole Black Lives Movement has had lots of attention over the last several years, last few years anyway, beginning with Trayvon Martin and then later on with the events in Ferguson and all around the country. But there was an event here in Kansas City that we're going to be talking about today that our guests tonight are Cindy Short, an attorney, Nareen Stokes, who is the mother of Ryan Stokes, who we're going to talk about a great deal this evening, and Justice from the organization One Struggle KC. And I'm going to just kind of jump into it and let Cindy tell the story of who's Ryan Stokes and what's it all about.
All right. Well, Ryan Stokes was a 24-year-old man who had been born and raised here in Kansas City. And on the night of July 28th, 2013, he and his buddies went down to Power and Light, like many of our young people like to do. It was towards the end of the evening. These young men worked and took care of their families and went to church. They were good citizens of our community and just wanted to have a few laughs together. And so down at Power and Light at the end of the evening, it was a very busy evening, a very busy night, and a young man coming out of the bars, who had been drinking quite a bit, thought he lost his phone, and sadly turned to the first young African-American man he saw and made an accusation. That accusation led to some pushing and shoving between Ryan's group and the group of white males. And as a result of that, the police decided to handle what was really a small disturbance by spraying these young people with pepper spray. As a result of that, people dispersed as the police wanted them to. And as that was happening, as Ryan was headed towards the parking lot to get his car, unbeknownst to him, these white young men were talking to a bike police officer and accused again Ryan's group of having taken this phone, which caused the police to initiate what's called a foot pursuit. And during that foot pursuit, officers from different directions became involved. Ryan, when he got to his car, was trying to get into the car. He did not know that the police wanted to talk to him. And as he stepped from the front of his car towards the south end of the parking lot, he was shot twice in profile, but from behind. Unfortunately, sadly, those shots were fatal, and Ryan Stokes died about 20 minutes after he was shot. That began what has become a long journey for Ryan's family to really restore his identity and who he was and what he meant to them and to the community, and to come to grips with a situation in which the Kansas City police first shot their son and then were not honest about what had happened, which caused just further heartache and confusion. And that's what brought me into the case, was to see if I could answer their questions and if we could do something that was positive to prevent this from happening to another young person, and hopefully to inspire the Kansas City Police Department to make some changes that will keep all of us safer.
I know there are really a lot of different aspects of this that I want to talk about as time goes on. We'll come back to some of those. But Nareen is Ryan's mom, and I wanted first of all, my condolence for your loss, because I know, even though it's been a while, that it's still a painful loss.
Yeah.
And I know when I first met you, I was in an audience where you were talking about your son. So tell us a little bit about Ryan.
Ryan was my only son, my baby boy. He was born October 18th, 1988, on an early Tuesday morning. Pretty big boy. He was almost 9 pounds and 12 ounces or something to that fact. And, you know, after having two girls, bearing two girls, I finally had my boy. And I was glad that, you know, I was told I was having a boy. And, I mean, after that, it was all about sports or, you know, mama's feeding, eating, cleaning, whatever. Whatever it took to take care of Ryan, being the baby boy, we did it. If you want to say we had him spoiled, he was spoiled. He was a mama's boy. That he left out of this world, I could say 24 years old. A mama's boy, but a good mama's boy. He wasn't a rebellious son. He didn't get himself in trouble, you know, to have me on the worry. He actually loved sports, played sports, played for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department.
Wow.
So that in itself tears me. I mean, he won them trophies.
Right.
Because he could play so well.
Now, I know he graduated. He
graduated from Southeast High School. I want to say 2007.
Okay. Did he play sports?
He played sports there, too.
Okay.
In Metro Sports and any of those people that could record or video, they were there. He, you know, if we could go back to some of the tapes, he was a good player. He was very good.
Yeah.
His basketball coaches said that if they could have 10 Ryans on their team, they would take it. He was height challenged, but he was someone who knew the floor, he knew the game, and he was a great team player, and the coaches loved this kid, loved him.
I did try to read some of the newspaper articles, you know, just to kind of prepare for this a little bit. And I'm going to read the first thing that happened that I saw that was a result of a news release right after it happened. Then I'm going to let you comment on it. Man shot, killed by KC officer ID'd. Kansas City, Missouri police shot and killed a suspect in connection with an overnight theft. He has been identified as 24-year-old Ryan L. Stokes. Police were called to the area of 13th and Grand around 3 a.m., when officers found Stokes, he ran off, and when officers were able to catch up with him, he showed the gun to officers. After he failed to drop it, after being ordered to do so by an officer, that officer shot him, a news release said. So that went out on a news release. And so, if I was out in the public reading that, I'd say, well, gee, there's no big deal here. There's lots of, well, you know, pick your own words, hoodlum activity in that part of town. I'm sure, that late at night, I'm sure there was nefarious things going on. And, you know, it's a hard job being a police officer. And sometimes, you know, the whole argument, you have to make a split decision. Anyway, comment on that part of just that newspaper article, if you want to, or maybe give some more background information.
Well, I think the newspaper article was the first thing that for the family and for all of Ryan's friends struck them as unbelievable, because they knew him and they knew that he did not carry a gun. And in fact, in my recitation, I did not say, but Ryan was unarmed. That is uncontroverted. When he was shot twice from behind, he was unarmed. And this was the problem that we had as soon as the news came out, because what happens sadly in these shootings is police move very quickly to demonize or fictionalize the individual who has been injured or killed, to justify what's happened, but it adds to the pain of the people who knew this young man. I think as we gathered all of the information, most of the narrative that you just read was false. Ryan was not the individual who had been accused of taking someone's phone. He was unaware that the police wanted to talk to him. And as a person that worked in a small business in Kansas City, Ryan needed the police, and the police were not someone that he was hostile to. And so if he had known they wanted to talk to him, he would have stopped. He did not know it. Ryan at no time ever pointed a gun at any individual, officer, civilian, no one. There was no standoff. When the police gave their reports, by and large, the people that were in that parking lot heard either no commands or at best the command of get to the ground. But from the time that the dispatch went out until Ryan laid bleeding on the parking lot was approximately 24 seconds. And so this thing happened very quickly. The Power and Light District down there is known as a hot spot or a hot zone. And officers who don't work patrol are under Chief Forte's community policing program are required to get out back on the road, back on the street in hot zones on weekends in the most hot time of the night. And sadly, I think probably both for the officer and for this family, the officer that fired the weapon was ordinarily an officer that had a desk job at Research and Development. And the training that was to come later for the officers put into these hot zones wasn't quite pulled together yet when this happened. And so there was just a constellation of things that went wrong, but the individual that was shot and killed was a good citizen of Kansas City and had not committed any criminal act. He was not a hoodlum, and it was a tragedy.
Yeah, I know in reading, it was interesting how the story evolved as I read later and later articles. First of all, the earliest one that I read was, that he pulled a gun and they told him to drop it. He didn't drop it. The later report was he threw it underneath a car, but they didn't know it. They thought he still had a gun. And then the last story I read about was the officer said he opened the door of the Monte Carlo, which was his friend's car, and threw the gun in there because there was a gun.
Yes.
There was a gun, but it was a gun that was registered to his friend, and he had a permit to carry that gun.
Right, and it's also lawful to have a gun in your car. So there was nothing unlawful about the gun that Ollie had, but Ryan never possessed that gun, and Ryan was not carrying it that night, and Ryan did not point it at anyone. And like I said, there's no disagreement that at the time he was shot, he was unarmed.
And I'm gonna skip right ahead to what I think is perhaps the most, I don't know if irony is too soft a term for the fact that the officer received a commendation for this, and I'm going to read a little bit of the commendation. The certificate of commendation was presented to Officer Tamara Jones and Officer William Thompson for their dedication and commitment to the performance of their duties. While working in the Power and Light District, Officers Jones and Thompson encountered suspects who were being pursued by other officers. One suspect had a handgun pointed in the direction of the pursuing officers. Officer Jones and Thompson drew their weapons and told the suspects to drop their weapons and get to the ground. One of the suspects refused to drop his weapon, and Officer Thompson was forced to fire his weapon at the suspect, fatally injuring him and ending the threat to all officers. Well, I think even at this point, even the police will admit that that's incorrect.
That's
You kind of wonder how much investigation do they do before they give out a commendation for shooting somebody, and how much was a shooting investigated in that case?
Right,
absolutely.
I want to introduce Justice, who hadn't had a chance to say anything. Justice is here from One Struggle KC, and one of the ways I got to know about Ryan is going to some events that One Struggle KC has put together. So I don't know if you want to add anything to the dialogue here. We'll come back and visit one struggle goes before the end.
But. I will add something, because it's something we need to be aware of and look out for. Historically, media has accepted the police narrative and has pushed that, and people don't question it. Our journalists need to do a better job of displaying journalistic integrity, number one, by getting all sides of a story before you put something out there in print that cannot be taken back very easily. As far as I know, the people who have printed these stories, and they know that they know now, the majority of the information in there is false. They have not come back to retract or to offer an apology or to try to correct that in any way. And that is a serious problem, because if you go and you look online, you will still see those negative stories out there concerning Ryan, who has a little girl growing up in the digital world. So it's very, very important. If that's happening with Ryan, that is happening with a lot of people. And it just speaks to historically what happens with media and police and how they are pretty much in bed with each other. We need more independent media sources regarding these cases and more journalistic integrity with those media sources who are out there in the forefront. So that's my 2 cents.
I'd give you 4 cents for that, at least. I want to... Cindy never took her lawyer's hat off, but put your lawyer's hat on for this question. Ty Grant, who is a police spokesman, was quoted as saying, I'm sure this was earlier on, but authorities investigated the case thoroughly and submitted it to the prosecutors. The grand jury returned a verdict that the shooting was justified. Well, a couple of points. The old cliche is a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. And I think probably the other side of that is that rarely is a shooting found to be unjustified, because, I mean, let's face it, a prosecutor and the police kind of see themselves on this. I'm speaking, well, I guess, with my layman's hat on, but on the same side of the fence with the prosecutor and the police. So anyway, comment on that if you would, Cindy.
Well, I think independence and transparency are the two things that really help us to come to fair results. And the police and the prosecutors necessarily have to work closely together. It's a necessity of the work that they do. And so when an officer-involved shooting occurs, I think it is important that we find an agency that is independent, so that they can do what we would consider a thorough investigation. There was not a thorough investigation in this case. If you listen to the dispatch tapes, within 4 minutes, media was on the scene, and the first concern, or other than taking care of Ryan, was where do we put the media? And then within seconds of knowing the media was on the scene, the police asked for an assault of a law enforcement report number. That means that the investigation was now going to proceed against Ryan. Within 4 minutes of this investigation opening up, they had already decided it was a justified shooting. You might recall in Chicago when the case happened there, and the prosecutors argued that it would take them a year to investigate that particular case. When police came to give the notice to the family 14 hours later, the family was told that this case was concluded, that their son had been in a standoff, that the police had to shoot him, information that was false. When the grand jury proceeding happened, only two witnesses were called, and we also know that prior to that, the grand jurors are taken on a little field trip, and in that field trip, they get to go through what's a virtual reality training with Mr. Grant, which demonstrates to them what it might feel like if you were in a situation like an officer when they are under threat. In Kansas City, we've had 47 homicides in the last 10 years. We've had zero indictments of those officers. Of those 47, 11 lawsuits have been filed in federal court, and 9 have been dismissed by the courts. So 2 survive out of 47 cases. There is a tremendous protection, which in many ways is probably important for the police officers, but there is no place to hold people accountable. And if you cannot hold them accountable, then they have no motivation to change. And there are changes that we need here.
I know, just as happenstance would have it, I happened to be looking at the editorial page early March the 2nd, actually. And As I See It column about the Kansas City Metropolitan Crime Commission. And I'm going to read just a bit of that and have you, again, just respond as an attorney. When police shootings occur, it is vital that the community be satisfied that the use of deadly force will be reviewed by officials who are unbiased and independent. Skipping down, the Kansas City Metropolitan Crime Commission has reviewed these issues. Now, they're not talking specifically about Brian. I want to clear on that. Brian, the Kansas City Metropolitan Crime Commission has reviewed these issues and generally believes the current system operating in Kansas City meets these standards. Unlike most every other major metropolitan area, the Kansas City Police Department is overseen by a 5-member independent board of police commissioners. I mean, it goes on, and it's obviously, you know, setting up that particular point of view. And I guess from what I would know, you know, kind of like Harry Truman, all I know is what I read in the newspapers. You know, I didn't know anything about Ryan Stokes, you know, back when it happened or even, right. You know. And so I don't know how similar Kansas City is to Ferguson or New York City, you know, where these other high profiles is. I'm wondering how much different the reaction may have been if this had happened a year after Ferguson rather than a year before Ferguson. But I don't know if you can comment on how Kansas City is the same. Well, there's no way to say you know whether it's the same. I guess just kind of comment in general.
We know that a lot of people, quite a few people in our organization, actually did work in Ferguson when all of that was occurring. And they realize that we have the exact same issues here, even though they are not highlighted. So even though we have a black mayor and a black chief of police, if they are a part of a system that is, I'll use the word corrupt, so to speak, then they're a part of it. They're not going to step out of that. I have personally asked Chief to comment on this or to give me a reply concerning this, and I haven't heard anything from him. I have asked our mayor those same questions, and neither one of them are taking leadership on this issue. As a matter of fact, I bug them on their accounts, their Facebook, their Twitter accounts, and I ask them to take leadership on this issue. If you want to say that you are different than other cities, prove it by stepping outside of what these other cities have done. We see that other cities, they're trying to hide evidence. They're trying to hide tapes. They're lying to families. So if you are going to say that you are different, then you have to show that in your actions. And right now, we don't see that. Me being a African-American woman growing up in Kansas City, I have seen a lot that goes unreported. I have seen police brutalize people, and they don't go and arrest these people. They beat them up. So these are not things that you're going to hear about. There is no case number somewhere regarding the guy that they beat up, or an older man, old enough to be my father. I met him the other day, and he told me how the police brutalized him to the point where he doesn't know if he's going to be able to continue his current job. And he was playing buckets right outside of the mayor's event last week, trying to get some attention to his case. So here we have pockets of people who have gone through this very thing, but they have not found a way to be connected to each other. And so hopefully One Struggle KC can be a voice for that. We hope That was our point of working with Ms. Nareen. We wanted to be a voice for Ryan. We wanted to highlight that this happens here, and we need to make sure that it stops. We don't want another Ryan Stokes case. Ms. Nareen does not want another mother to feel all of the pain she's had to go through. We just had a holiday, and I'm sure that affected her. These are things we can't, no matter what happens, we can't bring Ryan back. And so we need to, when we say Black Lives Matter, we mean it unapologetically. People need to get it. Doesn't mean other people's life don't matter. Yeah. Black lives matters too. So that, I guess that's my other 2 cents.
Okay, no, that's great. And just real briefly, is there a different, I mean, Black Lives Matter and One Struggle KC, mm-hmm. What's the relate? Is it kind of one and the same, or just
no,
two names for the same kind of thing? Or just
no, there are two organizations. One Struggle KC was born out of local Kansas City activists. As you know, Black Lives Matter was born out of three black women, I believe all of them queer. Mm-hmm. And they created that movement, and getting everybody to see that it started with Tamir Rice. Trayvon, yes, I'm sorry. Because there's so many, right?
Yeah.
They run through my mind. Yeah. So, no, they're not the same, but we do a lot of Black Lives Matters work, as well as LGBTQ. If all of us aren't free, you know, none of us are free. So
I
want to say that,
yeah.
You know, the one thing that disappointed me is that there was a commission put together by the Department of Justice, a human rights commission, and they were asked to travel around the state of Missouri and talk to communities about the issues that affected Ferguson and to investigate whether those same issues were in the other cities. And so we had a public meeting here in Kansas City, and the police department was invited to come speak. Now, Jackson County Prosecuting Attorney Jean Peters-Baker, she was there and she participated. There were people from the ACLU and other organizations, but very surprisingly, Chief Forte chose not to participate in this particular forum. There was a police chief from Springfield, Missouri. There was the Jackson County Sheriff who came to participate, but they chose not to participate. He sent a representative to observe, I guess, and report back what had happened. And when that individual tried to speak in the public section to the commission, the commissioner got very, very angry and said, you know, you had your opportunity to be here to contribute to this discussion in a meaningful way. And for some reason, even though we're here in Kansas City, the Kansas City Police Department chose not to participate. And that was, I think, very disappointing for mm-hmm. us as a community mm-hmm. For failure of our leadership mm-hmm. to be present as we try to solve these important issues.
Well, we've only got less than a minute left, but what would you like to see happen? I guess it's a closed case, and would you like to see it reopened, or
yeah,
what are you shooting for?
You know, we would like to, we have worked very hard to be in a position to have a meaningful dialogue, and it's been very important for us to let people know who Ryan is. We hope by speaking out that this won't happen again. We would love for people to look at the information that's on the internet about Ryan. They mm-hmm. just have to put in Ryan Stokes and they'll learn a lot about it. Please reach out to us if you would like to help. We would love to have your help.
Well, thank you so much. Cindy Short and Nareen Stokes and Justice from One Struggle KC. I appreciate the work that all of you are doing to improve well, the society we live in, and unfortunately our time is gone. I'd like to spend another 30 minutes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.